statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Talk about, and the title of our teaching today is Assurancy and Certainty as an Overcomer. Assurancy and Certainty as an Overcomer. Now, I want to give you something here for you to ponder and think about. Perseverance is more than endurance. It's endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that we are looking for what is going to happen. I'm going to give this again so this sinks in. Perseverance is more than endurance. It's endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that we are looking for what is going to happen. And I believe that that is the key to the deeper life and the understanding and experience of the deeper life. Many of us try to persevere. Perseverance can just be hanging on. But you know, we can be hanging on, which is exposing all sorts of things. Possibly the fear of letting go. Are you hanging on today as a believer, as an overcomer, because of the fear of the consequences, the fear of letting go? What will happen to me? Will I be eternally damned? You see, many haven't really seen the overcoming walk. And they've simply tried to persevere for a while. But the problem is, if you're just going to try and persevere for a season, for a while, you are not going to grow in faith, which is your assurance. And that is why we make so much about faith and the need of faith and to walk by faith. Because we know, as Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence meaning that it's being made real in your life. You may be seeing the promises that you're holding on to in a distance, but you know that they are there. That is why, under the old covenant, The saints of old were justified by faith because they saw the Lamb slain from the foundation. They saw him afar off. They had a revelation that God was going to send his Saviour and save mankind. They believed that. They walked by faith for that. They overcame by that. Some were martyred for that. And here we are now under a new covenant, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world that has now been revealed to the world, even though Israel rejected their Messiah, yet now under a new covenant with the Holy Spirit who's now baptized us, made resident, made home in you and I, revealing now a greater revelation and understanding, and above all, the victory that Christ wrought at Calvary for us. Everything is so much better. That is the emphasis of the book of Hebrews. And yet, do we believe this? Or are we simply persevering, just staying with it, because I fear the consequences otherwise? That is not the walk of an overcomer. You cannot grow in an environment like that. You cannot grow and mature into sonship with bondage like that. This is why we preach faith, because the ultimate test of faith is the rest that you have. Faith doesn't strive. Faith doesn't try to believe. Faith isn't worried about whether I'm going to make it in or not. Faith is that rest. It is that assurance. And yet so many can be consumed with trying to stay with it, determined that they are going to finish the faith. Gritting their teeth, determination. That sadly is religion. God doesn't save us with such bondages like that. The whole of salvation is a whole and complete work from beginning to end by the power and might of God for his glory. And what he requires of us is to yield to that and believe. You see, you don't work at being an overcomer. You see, our biggest fear is we won't be damned, but I won't overcome. So I'm quite happy to make it in by the skin of my teeth. That has been a lot of the motivation of many of our brothers and sisters who once fellowshiped with us, who now no longer do, have gone back into compromise. Well, I won't be damned, but I won't be an overcomer. They won't say that, but that is in their mind and thinking. Why? Because they tried to persevere. They tried to believe. They tried to get themselves healed and delivered. They tried to change their hearts. They tried to love God and work at fellowship and so on. And it doesn't work. And this is why they find it difficult to walk by faith. And when that trial comes along, that's it, that's enough. It didn't work. Totally missing what it means to be an overcomer, because it's absolute assurance and certainty that it's going to happen. It doesn't matter when, it's going to happen. And that is always the high standard that God has worked with his saints. We've been talking recently about Abraham. God didn't alter the timing of which Abraham, Sarah, were to have Isaac. That was in the perfect time of God. Even though they may have a problem with it or whatever, yet there was a mustard seed of faith that believed that what God had said to them, it would happen. And that is the same principle with how God works with us. You see, God doesn't make mistakes. Our calling and consecration for this walk, for the last days as overcomers, God has not made a mistake. And that is why we need to experience his love, which I will talk about later. You see, we fear, don't we, that Christ won't win the battles. Christ won't win my battles. He won't deal with my family. He won't raise me up. He won't heal me. He won't deliver me. He somehow seems to be just losing these battles. What's wrong with him? Why is he losing these battles when we're told that he's all authority, power, and dominion is given unto him? He even sits at the right hand of the Father. What's going wrong? There are many in FGA who've not said it outwardly, but are saying it in their hearts. When are we going to learn that God means what he says? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. When are we going to learn this one? And yet God never forsakes us. He's always on time. And we know that when the victory is won, when he has won that battle, the picture is always far, far bigger than we realize. Because so often we're consumed within ourselves, our little world and situation. But every dealing that God does with you and I is for the kingdom of God, is for glory, is for eternity. And we need to experience more of this and see more of this. You see, we need this absolute assurance in our hearts, which is what faith is about. We need that assurance that God is purifying us, that he is dealing with us as sons in sonship, and that he's doing this both individually and corporately. And that's why we go through the trials and tests that we go through. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. Here we know these very well, where it speaks about the churches, and if they overcome, then God will bless them. And he says here in Revelation 3, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. In other words, he says, although it uses the word to persevere here, but it also means endurance. It's also combined with absolute assurance that he says, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. I believe that to be the great tribulation, because it speaks of the whole world. And he promises to come and deliver us from what is to come on the earth, to test those who dwell on the earth. In other words, to test those who didn't overcome, to test them to see whether they love Jesus or not. And he says, I come quickly. So he says, hold fast what you have, that no one takes your crown. In other words, hold to what you have been given and are being given. And what have we been given over the years? The deeper life in the spirit. That is the goal. And he says, hold on to it, that no one take your crown. Why does he refer to a crown? Because there are rewards for the sons of God. They're going to be seated on thrones, given power, dominion to rule and reign with Christ in the millennial reign. That is what he's meaning here. Hold on to it. Don't let anyone rob you of this. Why do you want to just be saved by the skin of your teeth? What is the point? And if you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind and being, then you will love the rewards that he wants to give to you. That's what love does. Love gives special rewards, special intimate things, the same as a husband and wife do. So that is what Christ does with his bride as she's making herself ready. He wants to give special gifts of love to her. So it's worth waiting on God for all of this. But the point is, are we at rest in our waiting? Or is there strife, uncertainty? I'm not sure. Many of our brothers and sisters who've gone back have never had or seen the revelation of the deeper life. And the revelation of the deeper life, the experience, the understanding of this is not only going through that open door, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going on into maturity. And this is achieved and done by the cross, by God dealing with the self-life, the selfish life. You cannot have two abiding in you. You cannot love yourself and love Jesus. You will eventually be challenged to make a choice, a decision. Who is it going to be? And when we surrender over that there's only one in my life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, there's no room for anything else. And you've settled it. And God builds upon that. And he builds and he builds and he builds. And he's not building anything of you anymore. Your independence, what you want or everything. He's building his glory, his life in and through you. So that your life expresses 24/7 the love and grace and power and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about him. His will. And do you know what? God puts all that affection, desire, and heart for that. How do we know? Well, here's the key to this. Turn with me to Colossians. Book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. Here is how you get these godly affections in your heart for this. Because whatever your heart is lusting for, that is where it will be found. There are many religious people trying to be very devout, very holy, spend hours and hours in prayer and fasting and the word. But their hearts are still lusting for the world. And here it is. If then you were raised with Christ, that means the new birth, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Where is Christ? Above, sitting at the right hand of God. And the Holy Spirit has come to baptize you, to empower you to seek those things that are above, so that you can set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That is the key to the deeper life. That is the key to having the right godly affections. It's God working with you, setting your mind, your heart on things above, not on the earth. Why? Because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, the new life. My old life is dead. I now have the new life that is in Christ Jesus, and that new life is above. That is why the apostle says in Ephesians that we are seated with him in heavenly places. That is why the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer to the disciples. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are people of above, not beneath. You are above all of these things. You are above your trials. You are above yourself, your wants, your needs, and everything. Everything is above. You are at a completely different position to the world. And how is this done? By setting your mind on these things. And you say to me, well, how do you set your mind on these things? Word, your prayer life, meetings like this, listening to the anointed word, coming together in fellowship, in the love and blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this works with your mind, your heart, setting it above, as well as your trials. Your trials are tailor-made for God to set your mind and affection on things of above. That is how you overcome, brothers and sisters. And the Apostle Paul has got it absolutely right here. The Apostle Paul was in love with Jesus. You may say to me, oh, that sounds a bit kinky, a bit weird. That sounds a bit homophobic to say that the Apostle Paul was in love with Jesus. Well, you haven't understood. Because it's an agape love. It is a spiritual love. It's not eros. It's not erotic. But he is so in love with Christ. And that, brothers and sisters, is the work that God is working in you and me, even right this moment, that nothing else matters. That I am in love with Jesus. And he is with me. And we set our mind and heart and affection on that goal, and everything else will fit together. It will be like putting a glove on or a shoe on that fits you perfectly. You won't have to strive at this. You won't have to try to believe. You won't have to try and persevere. Because it is the love of God that is driving you, that's motivating you, that everything you say you do is in the love of God. That is what it means. And we wait on God as he's working all these godly affections within us. And that is why God hasn't forgotten your labour of love. This is why he's not turned his back on you or I, which sometimes it looks like in the deeper life. But he hasn't. We know this from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. But beloved, we are confident or better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise or the promises. There we are. Underline that, brothers and sisters, if you need help or you need encouragement. Let that be a source of inspiration and help to each of us. God hasn't forgotten you. He's not turned his back on you. Your walk, your endurance, your labor of love, your pressing in, your devotion, everything and more is for a purpose, which he says here. And we do it through faith, patience, inheriting the promises. By faith. He hasn't forgotten us. You see, brothers and sisters, the faith walk has always taken us beyond ourselves. And if we regard it, this walk of faith, as safe, wise, sensible, then you've not really understood. And that's why many go back, because faith can seem very irrational, unpredictable. You're never sure. And people want a safe life. They like to think they're sensible, they're wise, they're building up their nest in this life. After all, you don't know what the future holds, and we've got to be sensible. We've got to use common sense. No, faith always will move beyond you, beyond yourself, beyond your mind, your thinking, your circumstances, whatever you planned or aimed for or saved for or whatever it is. Faith will move beyond all of that, because it's not bound by that. The faith walk is supernatural. Can't be explained many times. That's why preaching faith isn't always an easy message. And that is why it is a message that has to be brought out so often. Because it moves beyond sensibility, beyond human wisdom, beyond the safety, the boundaries that we set. That's why we've never really understood its true meaning. And that's why we're still learning as we appropriate our faith and as we step out in faith and use that mustard of faith, then it begins to make sense. And it's exactly the same with God's love. You will not know God's love unless you begin to move out into it and express it and live it. Because it's all to be experienced. You cannot experience the overcoming life cloistered in your room, in your house, 24/7, and just listening to tapes, reading scriptures, books, or doing your own thing. That is not what we're saved for. We still live and walk and move in this life. We're called sojourners, passing through. And this is where God can and will use us. And where, when led by the Spirit, the appropriate time, we can share the good news that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He sometimes felt power, virtue go out of him. He was empowered to meet every situation, obstacle, trial, and he never ever for one moment thought it strange or indifferent. Whatever he encountered, being led by the Spirit, he knew the Father was in it and was allowing it, permitting it for the glory of his name. That is how he's working with us and will bring us to that place where we no longer think these things strange anymore. We may hear things at times that can concern us, can upset us. Sometimes, sadly, we see Christians doing dreadful things, should never be doing if they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know what to do. We take it before the Lord, we pray, we supplicate. Do you know, if you're really sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you will find that you will be praying and supplicating God's mercy for a lot of professing believers who say they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But the way they walk, the way they react, the way they treat their brothers and sisters, you find yourself going before God and crying out for mercy and grace. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Because they profess that they love you, but I see blindness. This should never be. That is why we pray for one another, that we may be healed. Why do we do this? Because it's about God's glory. It's about the church of Jesus Christ. It's about the church's witness, its testimony. And how the devil gets in and uses it. And people out there are more discerning than you think. And they'll look at it and say, well, if that's the body of Christ, you can keep it. They're nothing but a load of hypocrites. That's what I used to say before I was saved. I used to hear my grandparents used to say the same thing. And do you know what? Sadly, at times, they're actually right. We're the ones that can be so blind. And that is why we have the Spirit of Truth. And that is why we have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. And if we have the love of God in our hearts, then we know what to do. We don't criticize. We don't point the finger. We get on our knees and we supplicate. We pray, Lord, have mercy over that person, over that saint who calls himself a Christian, and yet look how they're living. Open their eyes that they may see, because it's blindness. That is why I spoke on Tuesday about denial. And we know the devil didn't like that teaching, because God was setting great deliverance behind that. And because we had trouble, I do suggest that you go onto the website and listen to that teaching. There may be more that will come on it. But the enemy is a master at getting professing believers to get into denial, to pretend, to believe it's not really happening. That this isn't really about me. This is not my life. How can it be? They're in denial. And it takes the mercy and grace of God for deliverance. We do it so easily. We can be our own worst enemies. And yet we're so quick to blame the devil. And yes, believe me, he is what the Bible says he is. But we can deceive ourselves. But you know, when our hearts and lives are being filled with the love of God, that is the greatest deliverance. The love of God opens your eyes to everything. To things that you couldn't face before. But with the love of God, you now can. And that love that he places within us we channel back through our prayers, our intercessions, speaking kindly to each other, turning the cheek, if need be, to our enemies who smite us. All of that is to be experienced. It's not just mere words. It's not what we just read out of the scriptures. It is to be experienced. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to be able to live the Word of God. That is why I keep saying that a Christian's life is supernatural. It is miraculous. It is not like a life that walks like the world. As we read to you in Colossians 3, you set your mind and a heart and affections on things above. Your life is above. Everything is above this world. That is why the apostle said in Ephesians, we're seated with him in heavenly places, far above power, principality, power, dominion, and so on. Everything is above. The power of God's Spirit and Holy Spirit comes from above down to us, filling us, baptizing us, changing us into the likeness and image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it is a union. It's a oneness with him. He has now come to take over. That is the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter. He is the one that has come to take over. And all God asks us to do is to let go. And all the while we're holding on in areas of unbelief, it hinders the Holy Spirit from working, delivering, saving, healing us, and so on. We've heard this many times over the years, but we still have areas that we're to let go and let God take over. You won't go under. Don't believe the devil's lies. The reason you won't go under, because God is love, and he loves you with an everlasting love. And in that love, he's placed his name, his glory, everything that he is in and through you. And he cannot deny himself. And all he asks of us is to believe. That is why, as I close now, and I give this to you again, perseverance is more than endurance. It's endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that we are looking for what is going to happen. And what is going to happen? Here it is in the Word of God, the promises of God's Word. That is why these promises are so precious, because they're going to happen. What God wants you to know in your heart is the absolute assurance. And that is called faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, you show us over and over again that you are on the throne. You have everything under complete control. Oh, Father, help us to rise above this. Help us to set our minds and hearts and affections on you 24/7. We thank you, Lord, that you are purifying the sons of Levi in this last day. We know, Lord, that these fires are designed for one purpose, that we may experience the love of Christ. Lord, we have need of falling more and more and more in love with you, so that there's no love or affection for the self-life, for that independent spirit, wanting my own way. Lord, bring us to that place that our life, our living, everything that we do is because of Jesus. There's nothing else for me except Jesus. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
The Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Seeing the heart, the commandment of the Lord.